But not one sahabi said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you're talking about all these countries will get conquered and fall at our feet. I'm just giving you explanation. And obviously when the country will fall at the feet of the sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, then the country will come with its gold, with its silver, with its platinum, uranium and oil and whatever it is. Those days they may not have dug up that oil. But the fact is that everything that that country contains will come under the feet of the sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in. So not one had any kind of doubt also. Look at their yaqeen now. We're talking about the levels of yaqeen. That if we had been there, we would have said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, na'uzu billah, we would have said that here we're tying stones on our belly, we're digging this trench, the enemies are coming from their coalition of forces, they're trying to uproot and destroy us, and we don't even have any kind of real protection and safeguard, and we are making an effort in your company to dig this trench to safeguard the Muslims. And you are talking about big countries and governments. No one had a doubt. And the time came when in the Masjid of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, after the conquest, gold and silver was flowing in from all sides. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was distributing. So isn't there a difference in the yaqeen and tawakkul level? So that's the mal of Madina Sharif, to develop that kind of tawakkul and yaqeen in Allah Ta'ala. Then if we look at the istihzar levels, the conscious awareness that my Allah is watching me. Now we cannot even keep that level in Madina Sharif and Makkah Sharif. The person is making tawaf of the Kaaba Sharif and he says, look at that pretty face, look at that pretty face. Instead of looking at the tajalli or trying to absorb the tajalli of the Kaaba Sharif, the person's gaze is running all round. Therefore I always say to the young people who are not married, or even if they are married, but if nafs and shaitan is ghalib, is dominant, then the sawab in its place, there's no denial that if you sit around the Kaaba Sharif, try and go in the first saf and look at the Kaaba Sharif after the namaz. If the person wants to sit and watch the Kaaba Sharif, then go sit in the first saf, great reward. Make your namaz in the first saf, great reward. But when will that reward be reward? Just as it is important to earn, it's also important to look after what you have earned. A person earned 1 million for the day, he's got massive shops and all. Now isn't he also concerned about how to get it over to the bank and get it deposited? Or does he just put it in an open box and take it along? You won't even walk few steps and nothing will be left there. So one side we say 100,000 sawab, alhamdulillah, 100,000 sawab for every subhanallah, 100,000 sawab for every namaz, 100,000 sawab for every zikr and tilawat, 100,000 for every charity. But then on the other side, what about the liabilities? Evil gazes that the person casts in these Mubarak lands, then what happens? We must think that everyone there is our mother, is our sister, is our daughter, and they are the guests of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So on the one hand there's great sawab in the first saf, but because of our weakness, what will happen is that we'll sit in the first saf. And first we'll look at the Kaaba Sharif, because we are told to look at the Kaaba Sharif, which is more rewarding than even Nafil Ibadat and Nafil Fast. Allah Ta'ala gives more sawab when the person is just watching the Kaaba Sharif, because 120 blessings are descending there, 24 hours of the day, 60 for those who are making tawaf, 40 for those who are making namaz, and 20 for those who are just sitting and watching. When there are weddings, or in the wedding hall, and the bride is on the stage, then I tell the ladies, there's no sawab. If you stare at the lady, somebody say, great sawab, keep staring at her. Will anybody say sawab in there? That staring should have been there at the Kaaba Sharif. Yeah, our staring is what kind of suit the person is wearing, what kind of watch, what kind of cell phone, what kind of car. We'll keep staring at that. And the ladies will keep staring at what kind of jewelry, what kind of bridal gown. So Kaaba Sharif, just looking at it, you just focus your gaze on it and believe that the tajalli of Allah Ta'ala is coming down there. 24 hours rains of rahmat are pouring. And it's getting you so much of sawab. So much of sawab the person is getting. But now if the person is casting lustful glances there, so then he's going to lose out everything that he has gained. So what will happen is, at first the person will look at the Kaaba Sharif, because he read in the Hadith Sharif that how much of sawab there is to look at the Kaaba Sharif. But after a little while, now the neck will pain. How long is he going to keep his head up? So then he'll bring it a little lower. Now he'll read those things that are written on the Kaaba Sharif. Then after a little while, little lower. And now he's enjoying what's happening there around the tower. That gaze which started off from the Kaaba Sharif, now ended off with the pretty faces. Shaitan is too shrewd. So at such a time, it's better sit at the back and keep your gaze on the Kaaba Sharif than that the person sits in the front and gets the lanat and the curse of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, because Hadith Sharif says, zina al-ayni an-nazr. The zina of the eyes is nazr. The zina of the eyes. Now can zina of the eyes and looking at the Kaaba Sharif, sawab, both go together? So this is a testing ground. It is a testing ground. All our iman, yaqeen and taqwa levels are tested here. Shaitan, don't go and sleep. Shaitan has more agents here than anywhere else. Like somebody said that he heard in some bayan, but I don't know how authentic the riwayat is, because most of the riwayat nowadays which we pass on are pocket riwayat. So he heard in some bayan, which I don't believe, unless the person was just saying something. He said, no, one reputable person was giving a bayan, and he said that alhamdulillah, you are in such a place now that shaitan has been chased out from the Haram Sharif. So he generally sits on that big clock that's outside. The big clock they got outside. See, he sits there, he's outside. I said, then who's cutting pockets inside there? When the people are making tawaf, people's pockets get cut. And all those sitting there, how many of them are casting lustful glances here and there? And how many got the cell phones with musical tones? So which shaitan is making them do all that? So shaitan doesn't go to sleep here, he makes more effort. And we got nafs and shaitan with us. Shaitan knows that he'll break my back here in Makkah Sharif, Madina Sharif. So therefore he too also makes big effort to destroy whatever has been gained. Construction takes place. Construction of a building takes place. But one bomb blast and there's destruction, finish. So the person is constructing his iman and his yaqeen and his tawakkul and his muhabbat for Allah Ta'ala and his Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Now all these things are being constructed, and then shaitan throws his bombs and finish all that, this destruction, nothing left there. So the heart is a very, very sensitive organ. Therefore we say that the person has got a strong heart. So he's got a soft heart, or the person has got a warm heart, and then we say he's a cold hearted person, or the different, it's one heart but different feelings. So Allah Ta'ala has made the heart like that, that in Madina Sharif, Makkah Sharif, it can absorb the tajalli, the noor, the barakah, the rahmat. It's only the heart that can experience that. The kayfiyat is experienced by the heart. Therefore when we're entering the Haram Sharif, I don't know how many times I must have pointed to different people that look at the tiles there. That because of the shine on the tiles, the reflection of the lights is going right into the tile. The frames on top, or the calligraphy on top there, Allah, Muhammad, or La ilaha illallah. Sometimes when you look down and you walk, it appears as if you are walking on those frames. But of course it's permissible, because it's not in your control. But look at the reflection of those lights. deep into the tile. Now what is the tile? The tile is stone. The tile is stone. Go and put some dust there, put black boot polish there, and then see if that light reflection goes inside. If somebody takes boot polish and takes a lot of dust and sand or mud and clay and puts it on the tile, and then put $1 million, 1 million watt or 1 billion watt globe on top, and then see which reflection goes inside that mud and clay. Nothing. So when there was an effort made on the tile and it was given a shine, so then the reflection of the lights could be seen right inside the tile. If that is the condition of tiles, then what is the condition of the heart? If we did a little bit of polishing of the heart, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala does not prevent us from eating and drinking and using His ni'mat, bounties, whatever is halal, eat, drink, joke, laugh, nobody says no. But the polishing of the heart from malice, greed, pride, arrogance, now all those things, the person has to polish that, then he will find something happening inside the heart. Then when he stands at the Roza Mubarak, then what is the noor of that light? That light has got a few watts. At the Roza Mubarak after that, that light, that noor, that shine, the brilliance of the Roza Mubarak, that will go into the heart. The person when he is standing there with his first As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulallah, he will already find his heart melting. He will realize that I am standing at the feet of the Master of all the worlds. After the Khaliq, after Allah, the greatest. لا يمكن الثناء كما كان حقه بعد خدا بزرگ تو یہ قصہ مختصر finish. After Allah, the greatest. As a person will experience something, it won't be a just come and go kind of thing. Even if he's sitting little distance away from there too, but that kafiyat will remain because he has polished his heart. So Allah Ta'ala brings here for so that we may create that kind, develop that, take lessons from all the things that are happening around. In Medina Sharif, how many things happened? Islam really spread from Medina Sharif. Makkah Sharif, there was torture, persecution, tests and trials. Few people were coming into Islam, one by one, two by two, few at a time. When he came to Medina Sharif, especially after Sulh Hudaybiyah, in the 2 years, then just look what happened. How many people came into Islam? Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala who comes into Islam. He who fought against the Muslims in the Battle of Uhud and created panic, now he is fighting for the Muslims. But what did he develop in his heart? Look at the yaqeen, and look at the tawakkul and the trust, and look at the fanaiyat, that means complete annihilation, and look at the sincerity and ikhlas, that everybody knew that it was Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala, that when he is in the battle, or when he is leading the Muslim army, then it's victory. So all gazes were now moving in that direction. As Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in the midst of a battle, he sends the hukam that he must step down, and he appoints another general, Abu Ubaida. As Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu did not even hesitate 1 minute, because he said, my fighting is for Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. That's all. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he overpowers that enemy who was attacking Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. And he could have assassinated Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, but Hazrat Ali overpowered him. Well known story. Little children also know it in the madrasa. But we just read it. But where was it developed, that kind of ikhlas? That enemy that spits on his face, so Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala leaves him. As soon as he moves, the reaction would have been that that enemy would have taken the sword and now taken his neck off. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. But Allah Ta'ala also just puts into his mind that he wants to ask Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, that why did you do this? Now who has the time in the battle to ask the person that why did you spit on my face and move away? Does anyway happen like that? But look at Allah Ta'ala's system. Because of the ikhlas with which he did that amal, Allah Ta'ala put into the heart of that enemy that you ask him now, why did he do this? Hidayat was now muqaddar for this enemy. Person who was disbeliever and fighting Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala and the Muslims, but hidayat had become muqaddar for him. So now he's asking in that battle now, that why did you do this, that when I spat on your face you moved away? Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala says that until then I was fighting for Allah. But the moment you spat on my face, then that anger came. So now I was fighting for my nafs.
Allah.
If I had to fight you, if I had to take your life. Even in the battlefield, in the midst of the battle, when there is danger of life also, look at the istihzar, that conscious awareness that my Allah is not only looking at me, but is even looking into my heart. The niyat of a person, is it outside? Ali radiallahu ta'ala, that niyat of his, that he moved away because of this reason, now was that outside or was it inside? But look at their realization. Jo karta hai tu chupke ahle jahan se, koi dekhta hai tujhe aasma se. When you hide and commit any sins, then remember Allah is watching from above. أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that is ihsan. Now this kayfiyat of ihsan, that wherever the person is, he knows that my Allah is watching. First of all, his ibadat, zikr, tilawat and everything must be done such a way as if he is seeing Allah Ta'ala. And if not, then Allah Ta'ala is watching him. Then comes that ikhlas. Not only in namaz, in the business, in the home, in the relationship with wife, children, family members, friends, society. In everything, the person has to have that kayfiyat of ihsan. أن تعبد الله كأنك ترى فإن لم تكن ترى فإنه يراك. Now they had that even in the midst of the battle. When the life is in danger, they still had that my Allah is watching. And Allah Ta'ala knows the intention and niyat also. Nowadays, how many of us we come Umrah upon Umrah, Hajj upon Hajj? What are our intentions? How many of them that go over and over Hajj also? Ask what is the intention? One person for many years, without a break, almost 20-25 years, I forget now what he's told me. But and then 1 year, no matter how much they tried, but they couldn't go on the flight. They were left behind. So people knew from the past 20 years or 25 years the person is going every year, and they used to, before the Hajj season comes, they already ask him, when you leaving. Now when the time came and they were left behind, so he was finding it very difficult. Now in the masjid he goes, what happened, you were left out, whatever. So people ask him. So when I met him also, he said, make dua. And I'm feeling it very, very hard, really missed out on Hajj. So I said, wait, I think that if you missed out on Hajj, it wasn't farz. You made the effort, but I said, just between us, be very, very honest and tell me, is it the sawab of the Hajj that you missed is of concern? Because if that is what you missed and is of concern, nothing, they take that money, give to the poor, needy, Allah Ta'ala will give the sawab. But if it is that people are asking all the time, now what happened, why you didn't go this year, how you got left behind, then he was honest. He said, Mawlana, is the truth. Everybody that's asking me, I'm feeling ashamed to tell them this is what happened. I said, you see, Allah Ta'ala, after 20 years, 25 years, he snapped that cord so that your pride breaks. Because now it will take another 25 years before you can say that I made Hajj. Because from now, if you carried on like that for 50 years, then you would have said, 50 years I made Hajj. Every year I was there. But now you'll have to say that, no, in between 1 year I was left behind.